Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Chapter number 5. Ephesians in chapter number 5. We've been going through the book of Ephesians bit by bit, understanding that the whole purpose of the book of Ephesians is to bring glory to God by the church. And that one of the best ways to bring glory to God by the church is having unity in the church. To think that we are a bunch of sinners saved by grace from different backgrounds, different cultures, different times, different ages, brought together to serve God in unity. And that is something that makes even the angels up in heaven go, wow, what a God. And in order to have unity, we understand that the most basic idea of having unity is for everyone to have the same goal, for everyone to be looking at the same place, and that is God. That if every one of us is looking towards the Lord, that we're all going to have unity because we're walking the same place, the same time, we're going the same direction. That's how to have unity in the church. And as we're looking towards the Lord, there is going to be some practical application that goes with it, whether it's how we speak, how we deal with people, understanding that we're walking in the light as he is in the light. And the last time we met, we talked about following after God, that the word following has the idea of imitating, like a child imitating the parent, that as they're looking at the Lord and they're watching how the Lord behaves, as the Lord speaks, as the Lord goes, we're just trying to be just like Jesus. The same thought is continued to where we're at tonight in the book of Ephesians chapter number 5. The book of Ephesians chapter 5. And notice with me in verse number 8. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 8. Notice what the Word of God says. Ephesians 5 verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Ephesians chapter number 5? Ephesians 5 and verse number 8, notice the phrase, children of light. Children of light. And with the Lord's help, we'd like to preach a message tonight from this passage about children of light. Children of light. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. Thank you again for letting us meet here today. Thank you for letting us come and assemble to learn more about you, to acknowledge you, to acknowledge your ways, to understand that there is a way that we are to walk. There is a way that we're supposed to go, and that we're supposed to go in the light that you've given to us. Lord, I'm asking that this would be clear and understandable, that you, the light of your Holy Spirit, would expose any dark places within our heart, and that you would make it manifest, make it known. Lord, that you would help us to understand the principle that you're trying to teach us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Most of us realize from a very early age, there is a difference between light and darkness. We understand that light works differently than darkness. For example, you can go and turn on a lamp and light comes out of it. There is no such thing as a lamp that casts darkness. You can't turn on a flashlight and everything's dark in front of you because of what is coming out of there. That it is a totally different principle of light and darkness. We understand that light and darkness do not mix. That where there is light, the darkness is cast away. They will hide away, put into shadows, but light casts that away. There is a difference. And the Bible calls us who are saved, we're born again, those that have accepted Jesus as our personal Savior, we are children of light. And if we walk in the light as He is in the light, there will be a difference in us. As we examine this passage, may I say some things about the children of light? The first thing I'd like to show you from this passage is that walking in light changes us. Walking in light changes us. We understand that Jesus is the light of the way. And when you walk in the light as He is in the light, that things will change in your life. There will be some changes if you walk in the light. First of all, it brings a change of character. It brings a change of character. Notice with me in verse number 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now notice this, we notice even the English grammar. For ye were sometimes darkness. Notice it didn't say you were sometimes in darkness. You sometimes were a part of darkness. Ye were darkness. That when before we came to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we had no light. We were darkness. We were the children of the devil. That there was something different. The things that we did in our life was not for the Lord. It was for us. That our actions portrayed that. The way that we thought portrayed that. Everything we were portrayed darkness. We were darkness. But now, there's something different. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We know that light drives away darkness. There can be no fellowship in darkness. We understand that biblical morality is always right or wrong, good or bad, black or white. There are no shades of gray in biblical morality. Now, we would love to make shades of gray, and the reason why is because we like our sin. We would love to have a reason to lie. We would justify stealing. We would like to justify this sin or this sin. But the Bible morality is always right or wrong. You understand that those are simplistic things, but that's how the Bible is. It's simple. You understand you are either obedient or disobedient. You're not almost obedient or kind of disobedient. You either obey or you disobey. That's as simple as it is. So every time the Lord gives you something, do you obey? Do you disobey? Do you do what's right? Do you do what's wrong? Do you sin or do you do righteous? You understand you cannot do both. That in each specific action we do, each step we take, we either walk in the light or we walk more in darkness. That is the choice that we have. That is so simple. It is us that makes things complicated. We would love to have situational ethics, meaning that the situation determines what's right or what's wrong. But we understand the Bible is very clear on what is right and what is wrong. And that we as children of the light are to walk as children of the light, not as we walked before. Not only does the walking in darkness, it changes us. It brings a change of character. It brings us a change of conduct. Notice with me in verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That if we are going to be children of the light, we will demonstrate the properties of light. If we are the children of God, we'll demonstrate the principles of God, the properties of God. You understand, we reflect the character that we are. And that if we're children of the light, we're going to reflect that. That's why it says the fruit of the Spirit. That if we are dead to self and letting God be in charge, guess what's going to be produced? What God can do. That if we're letting God tell us what to do and we're obedient to it, God is going to get the results. It is going to be completely different. God will always act true to his character, and our conduct should reflect the character of God. That who God is what we should be. We should be a reflection of that. That we are showing who God is. Some new saved guy who's just got off alcohol, his old drinking buddies came up to him and said, "You're starting to believe all that religious mumbo jumbo. You know, there's an old story in there about turning water to wine. You can't tell me that you believe all that nonsense." Well, the old saved drunkard said, "Well, I don't know about that, but I do know that he's turned beer into furniture in my house. Whereas before, it was all about beer. Now I have enough money to have furniture and to take care of my family. That is a change, and that is a miracle within my house." You understand that if we're walking in the light, there's going to be changes in our life. That the greatest evidence that biblical Christianity is true is the evidence of a different life. You understand? Because we have a different goal. We have a different God. We have a different follower. We have a different path. We are walking in the light. And that if we're walking towards God, there are going to be things that are different in our life than what was before. That is part of walking in the light. That walking in the light, it changes us. It changes us in our character. It changes us in our conduct. It changes us in the criteria. Notice verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto God. You know, we could actually line up and say, is my behavior acceptable to God? Is my attitude acceptable to God? You understand, it's not a matter of personal preference or if the world approves. It's all a matter, does it please God? And you understand, you can be pleasing to God. We can walk pleasing to God. We could say things that are pleasing to God. We could be approved unto God. Notice what it says in verse 10 again. Proving. That means with evidence, putting it on trial, proving what is acceptable unto God. You understand that it works like this. That we read in the Bible or we hear from the pulpit, this is what I'm supposed to do. And so you obey it. And guess what? God gives evidence, proof, that what you did was right. You understand that one of the best feelings, and we don't base things off of feelings, oh, but one of the best feelings is to know that you've been obedient to the Lord. Just to know that God has approved of what you've done. That the steps that you took was what God gave you to do. And God proved it. Oh, that's a wonderful thing to know that I've done what God has given me to do. By the way, every day you put your head on your pillow, you should be able to say, I've done what God has given me to do today. You understand that we can't conquer the entire world every day. All I'm supposed to do every day is what God has given me to do today. And as long as I do what God has given me to do today, I'm pleasing to him. I'm accepted. I just do what God has asked me to do today. I don't have to worry about tomorrow or next week. Am I doing what God has given me to do today? And as long as I accomplish and do and say and be what God has given me to do today, that's the easiest life. I could be approved unto God. I could prove what is acceptable unto God. And that's just walking in the light. That God has said, this is what to do. This is what to say. This is how to be. This is where to go. And I do those things. And God will do a work. What a wonderful thing that I could walk in the light. That as he shows me the path, I walk in the light. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I'm just letting the light of the word tell me where to go, where to do next, how to talk, how to speak, where to go. What a wonderful thing. I can walk in the light. And as I walk in the light, he changes me. As we continue to go on, not only does walking in the light change me, but walking against the light brings shame. walking against the light brings shame. Notice with me in verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. The word reprove means to convict. That we're supposed to say, I'm not supposed to walk in the darkness. I'm not supposed to do that. I'm not supposed to go there. You understand that we are supposed to be people of convictions, and there are things that we say, I'm not going to do. I'm not going to say. I'm not going to go. Those things are of darkness. I am walking in the light. God hasn't given me those things to do. That we are supposed to walk where we're supposed to. We're supposed to stay in the light and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. No, I'm not going to do that. No, it is wrong. No, that joke is not funny. No, I'm not going to say those things. No, I'm not going to go there. We are supposed to reprove that. Notice as it goes on in verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. That word shame carries the idea of filthy, deformed, ugly. You understand? It's a shame to bring those things that those people are doing, that we used to do, and to participate in, to bring them up. That it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Now, may I pause here, and let me tell you a clear biblical principle, that God does not do things in secret. He doesn't do things in secret, meaning talking about secret service Christians and Christians that are trying to conquer the darkness from within, and there is some of that stuff going on. You understand that the things of darkness Christians are supposed to stay away from. You're not going to conquer the devil by studying him and walking beside him and getting to know all of his disciples. We have enough problems that we don't need to go investigate the stuff. You know, there are certain things that we as Christians should stay away from. For our own sake, we need to stay away from it. There are certain things that we should not watch for our sake, because those things are darkness and they bring shame. There are certain things that we need to keep away from, that we need to be careful of the path that we're walking on. I say this because several years ago, I ran into a young man who fancied himself a superhero, if you can imagine, too many comic books or whatnot. And he thought that it would be the greatest thing to work for God in the shadow of the night. And almost like a superhero vigilante going around and helping people in the darkness and beating up the bad guys and whatever else. But you understand, that's not how God works. God works openly. God works by changing someone from the inside out in front of people. Watching lives change, watching them pass from death into darkness, to watch those things happen. That God wants to get the glory, and the things he does is not in secret. And if you are at the place where you feel like you have to hide something from church folks, man, I hope the church folks never see this. It is, if it's something that you feel like you have to keep it secret, it is probably something that is not good. That's the principle I'm trying to get to you. Man, I hope the pastor never knows what I'm doing for the Lord over here. It's probably not a good thing to be involved in. You understand? I'm giving this principle because it is amazing how the world will warp our thinking from time to time. And how it will try to convince us that what we're doing is good when it's in the darkness. And when it's in secret. Now, I'm not talking about surprise birthday parties and stuff like that. But I think you guys have enough discernment that you would understand what I'm talking about. That God is a God of light. And he does not do things in secret. That Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross of Calvary, it was not done in secret. It was done so the whole world would know that Jesus Christ is God. And that walking against the light, it brings shame. We need to be careful. We need to walk in the light as he is in the light. That we understand that walking within the light changes us. Walking against the light brings shame. that the way of the light is Christ. The way of the light is Christ. Notice with me in verse 13. But all things that are reproved, here's that word reprove again, all things that are reproved are made manifest or to be unveiled, to made clear by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. We understand that the purpose, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit, is to expose our sin into the light. By the way, that's why some people do not like the Holy Spirit, because they do not want their sin dragged into the light. But you understand that if we love light more than darkness, we have no problems with the Holy Spirit shining that spotlight into our lives, into our hearts, to expose every area. You understand that things look different in the light. Have you ever been to a restaurant that was lowly lit because of candlelight? You know that restaurant looks completely different when you turn all the lights on and you could see all the cockroaches and the imperviouses, and you could say, ha, that's why they had the light down in the first place. They didn't want everyone to see it. You understand, we all have places in our houses that is not well lit. And if you want to clean that well, guess what? You're going to have to get some light in there so you can see all the stuff that's in there. You understand our heart is the same way? That we got some secrets and some closets and we've got some places that the light hasn't hit in a while. You know what would be good is if God took his spotlight of his Holy Spirit and exposed every crevice inside of our hearts and our lives, and exposed, made manifest those areas that need cleaned. Now, that's not a bad thing. That's a great and wonderful thing to be able to have them exposed so they could be taken care of. They could be clean. Those cobwebs that could be swept away. The walls can be scrubbed. The floor can be mopped. That we could be a clean vessel all the way through, not that it appears clean because we have the lights down low enough that no one can see. There's nothing wrong that if you truly have a desire to be right with God, it is good from time to time to say, God, you have permission to look at every area of my life. You could examine all of my music, all of my TV, all of my internet sites, my entire phone, my thought life, my game site, my whatever site, my bookshelf, to expose everything. And if there's anything not pleasing, you manifest it. You expose it. You bring it to light and let me deal with it. But that's what the Holy Spirit does, is that he exposes our sin and drags it to the light, brings it out so that way you have to look at it and deal with it. Notice as it goes on in verse 14. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You understand that light and life go together. Life craves light and cannot exist without light. Can you imagine living an entire life without light? Now, I understand Wisconsin in the winter, you get pretty close to it from time to time. Could you imagine being up in Alaska and not seeing daylight for months on end? Could you imagine that what it's like to see a sunrise and the sunrise just lasts for a couple minutes and then it's dark again? Could you imagine living in that type of thing? Why? Life craves light. We have to have light. We must expose it. You understand that we can't live in darkness all the time? You know what life without life is like? It's like a surgeon who just got through doing an autopsy, refusing to change his gloves when he wants to go to a new surgery. You know, that's not the corruption you want to bring with. You know what happens if you have a surgeon who's doing an autopsy? You want him to change his gloves and wash clean, antiseptic, before he does a surgery. You understand that if you play in the muck, in the mire, you play in the darkness, you're going to bring that corruption when you start doing other things for the Lord. We have to walk in the light as he is in the light. That the light changes us. And remember, the light is Christ. That as we follow after him, just follow the path that he's given to us. Our life requires light. And our light is Jesus Christ. And we're just supposed to walk after him, to follow after him. We need that. And without Christ, it is darkness. You understand that if you have a project, if you have a game, if you have a book, if you have a movie that you can't feel comfortable and say, me and Jesus, let's watch it together, it's not good. If it's not something that you think Jesus would say, hey man, let's watch this again, it's probably not good. You say, well, then I have nothing left to watch. Well, then you need a new collection, new something to go along with it. You understand that he is the life of the world and he is the light. By the way, it's not what we're losing, it's what we're gaining. When you have Christ, you don't have any need of anything else. He is all sufficient, meaning he satisfies every need and every longing. Why would we want something that corrupts when we could have something that fulfills? That we need to walk in the light as he is the light. You know what would be good tonight is if we would be honest and say, Holy Spirit, tonight I give you permission just to take the spotlight and search every crevice of my heart. Lord, I think I'm confessed up, but if there's anything that maybe I'm not aware of, maybe there's something that I don't even realize is sin. I give you permission to show that in my life, and I'd be willing to fix it, to get that taken care of. And you know what God will? He'll, if you're honest with him and give that permission, he'll show it to you. Now, that's not a bad thing. It's a wonderful thing to get clean, to get right, to walk in the light as he is in the light. To have that fruit, to have that change, to allow him to reprove those things of darkness, to get those fixed, because he is worthy. He is worthy. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.